go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined, as we have the privilege of being each week, by one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving Asia and our interests there, security, economic, and otherwise. He is, of course, Gordon Chang. You see him at Fox News. He writes now for the Daily Beast, as well as Forbes.com. He's the author of two superb books, The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. And we'll talk about all of that and more with Gordon. Welcome back, sir. It's good to have you with us as always.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Well, we've had another instance in which the United States Navy conducted what it calls a freedom of navigation action, this time in the Paracels. Talk a bit about what that was about, Gordon, and why it's important.
The Paracels are an island chain which are north of the Spratlys in the South China Sea. China claims all of the Paracels as it claims all of the Spratlys. And if we remember just last year, the United States conducted a freedom of navigation exercise in the Spratlys. Now we're doing it in the other island chain. And this is to just tell China that we're going to continue to go wherever we want to go in international water, and that China's claims are not going to prevent freedom of commerce for the United States and for other nations in the region.
Gordon, the precipitating cause, as I understand it, was not just the claims by the Chinese for sovereign control of those islands, but also that they've been manufacturing in some cases and arming islands in these chains. The Chinese have said that they actually drove the naval vessel, a destroyer, out of the area. The Navy discounts that, but how are the Chinese reacting to these demonstrations by us?
Well, predictably, the Chinese Foreign Ministry is upset about it. They said so in public. They said that we're trying to be the hegemon for the region. And as a matter of fact, they did not drive off the Curtis Wilbur, which is the Arleigh Burke destroyer that conducted the most recent freedom of navigation exercise. You know, China is going to try to portray this as China versus the United States, but it really isn't. It's all the countries in the region want free access to the South China Sea, of course. They depend upon it for commerce. And so, you know, this is a regional issue. And so China is taking on a large coalition. In fact, it's actually creating the coalition against it, because the Obama administration, like the Bush administration before it, did not want to confront Beijing. But countries in the region have pressed Washington, especially in recent years, to take a more activist role. They want the United States to protect the global commons, which we do everywhere else. And so, therefore, you know, they are at this point pushing the U.S. to take a much more assertive stance in protecting their rights to the water and to the international skies.
Speaking of assertiveness, there are reports, Gordon, that there will be another launch of a missile, presumably a longer range missile. We're not quite sure at the moment, I gather, what missile it will be or what its exact purpose will be. But how is that being perceived by our neighbors, its neighbors in the region and by Washington? And what should we be doing about this seemingly escalating, threatening behavior by the North Koreans?
Well, countries in the region, of course, are upset. And South Korea is particularly upset. We've had two leading political figures of the ruling Sunuri Party actually come out and say that South Korea should withdraw from the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and it should develop a deterrent of its own. Of course, if they did that, that would undermine the basis of our mutual defense treaty with South Korea. But it shows a lack of confidence in the United States to maintain the peace. And the one thing that we should be doing is realizing that this is not just a North Korea problem. North Korea is able to launch missiles and to detonate nuclear weapons because it has the support of China. And the United States needs to impose costs not only on Pyongyang, but also Beijing. And until we do that, the North Koreans are going to continue to develop the most fearsome weapons. And by the way, this is not just a North Korea issue, because, of course, North Korea sells its missiles to Iran. If North Korea is indeed testing its 80-ton booster, we can actually foresee in a year or two that the North Koreans will be able to target the west coast of the U.S., which they can already, but that the Iranians will be able to take that North Korean booster, repaint it in Iranian colors, and they would be able to launch it and target the east coast of the United States. So if the only thing the United States can do right now is move everybody in the country to the Great Plains, or we can actually, for the first time, have an effective policy against North Korea. This administration hasn't had one. The one before it didn't have one either. This is bipartisan failure that is threatening the security of Americans.
Gordon, before we leave the North Korean threat, the South Koreans are expressing interest as well, perhaps in addition to a nuclear program, but expressing interest in a missile defense system known as the THAAD. That the United States has had on offer for some time. Do you think that that will eventuate now in light of this latest North Korean development?
Yes. The South Koreans for a long time have resisted the THAAD system, which basically more protects the United States than it does South Korea. And also South Korea has been concerned about angering Beijing, which is very much against THAAD deployment in South Korea. But what's happened, especially over the last several months, is that it's become very clear to the South Koreans of two things. First of all, that the North Koreans are going to continue to launch missiles and detonate nuclear weapons, and also that the Chinese are not going to put pressure on North Korea. Now, that second thing has really disappointed the ruling party in South Korea. And so they realize that their really only option now is to work more closely with the United States. And at the top of our agenda for cooperation items is the deployment of THAAD on South Korean soil. It's probably going to happen, and it's probably going to happen pretty soon.
We will be watching it closely, as will you, and from your vantage points at the Daily Beast and Forbes.com, Gordon Chang. Let me ask you about one other development that is interesting in light of the kind of contraction that's taking place in the Chinese economy. Notably, the Wall Street Journal reports today that some of the hedge fund masters of the universe are beginning to bet against China, and the state-owned enterprises, I gather, are particularly in the dumps. But Gordon, the Chinese are nonetheless buying large quantities of oil on the international markets, apparently for their strategic petroleum reserve. Is that so? And what are the implications of that, as you see?
China's implied oil demand in 2015 increased only like 2.5%, but their increases of crude oil increased 8.8%. And the reason is essentially two things. First of all, they are refining oil and selling it elsewhere. But the other thing, as you mentioned, is that they're filling their strategic petroleum reserve. They will hope that by 2020 that they will have 550 million barrels in that reserve. And as of the middle of last year, they only had 191 million barrels. So they still have a long way to go to fill it. And this is important because Iran now, of course, wants to sell its additional 500,000 barrels a day of oil that can now come on the market because of the dropping of sanctions. They need to find someone to take it up, and they're looking to the Chinese to buy most of it. And I actually think that at some point the Chinese will not be able, won't have really the resources to buy this oil. And so, therefore, that's going to be a problem for relations between Beijing and Tehran. But for the moment right now, the Chinese are very happy to buy oil from the Iranians.
This contrasts, as I understand it, to how we are handling our petroleum reserve, which is to say, Gordon Chang, that I understand we're tapping into it and selling it off to raise a little bit of money in the short term. This really seems very foolish indeed, particularly as it contrasts with how the Chinese are behaving. Part of a larger story that you were so helpful to us in developing, Gordon, in terms of their ability to see and try to execute a strategic plan that could be quite injurious to us. We will be looking forward to talking with you more about that next week. Needless to say, thank you very much for the work you do with us and that at Forbes and Fox. And keep it up. Come back to us again soon. And I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.